So our first reading in gospel today obviously center us on the question of marriage. We hear the origin story of marriage in the book of Genesis, and then Jesus' affirmation of that origin story, and then clarification on things that had emerged in the Old Testament period. And so obviously it's a day, a homily to focus on the great gift of marriage. So the way I want to do that is just by talking about historically from the time of one of our tapestry figures, St. Augustine, late 4th century, he first kind of develops this idea that marriage consists of these three particular goods that in their totality are different than any other relationship, right? And so in the sacrament of matrimony, it's embodying these three goods, right? They're goods or values that marriage provides to the couple, right, to society, to the church, that are unique to this incredible sacrament. And so he calls them the goods of permanence, faithfulness, and children. And that these three goods differentiate marriage from friendship and other types of human arrangements, these three in their totality, the goods of permanence, faithfulness, and children. And so when we're as a priest assessing a couple for marriage, that's the main obstacle potentially to not having a marriage in the Catholic Church, is if the couple does not share one of those three goods, right? And so this is always like my first class, is we have to make sure. And I will tell you, what I think it's a refreshing thing about being a priest today is people don't lie to you anymore, right? They used to lie to the priest, you know, when their lives weren't in conformity with what they knew the church to teach, or they lie. Now they just tell you, right? And so I've had, in my 11 years as a priest, I've had couples come into that meeting and disagree with all three of the goods, right? So I had a couple once that said, we don't believe in permanence. We think that in your life you change so significantly every 7 to 10 years that you should find a more suitable partner for you at that stage. And so leave that partner and get another one. And I said, well, that's an interesting theory, but I can't do your wedding. Because, you know, God doesn't change his love for us every 7 to 10 years and abandon us and find a new person. I had another couple on faithfulness who said, we don't believe in monogamy. We believe in an open physical relationship in marriage. And I said, well, that's an interesting theory, but I can't do your wedding because it's clear from Genesis and Jesus, it's a one flesh union. It's not a many flesh union, right? I mean, this is part of what faithfulness means. And of course, I've had a number of couples really struggle over the issue of children. And there, you know, I'm always trying to say, are you sure? Maybe you won't change your mind. You're open to some extent. But if they are absolutely insistent, that is a closed door. I can't do their wedding. That openness to children, right, is a part of the fruitfulness that the church believes is present in the vows and in the sacrament of marriage. And so those three goods, which are very much present in our readings today, right, we have permanence. Jesus makes clear that there's that line that he says that's said right after the vows in the marriage ceremony. For what God has joined together, no one must put asunder. No one must separate. And we get Jesus's tough teaching today on divorce and remarriage. That is a very difficult teaching and a very difficult pastoral teaching. But it's grounded in his clear belief that marriage is for life. We get a reference to faithfulness. Like I mentioned, It's a one flesh union, that in the giving of oneself to another, one gives everything. And that love is meant to be so all-encompassing that there's no room for outside parties. That love is meant to be all-consuming in such a way that it can only exist in the reciprocity, the full reciprocity of two people. And then children, while not specifically in the talk about marriage today, I don't think it's coincidental that Jesus goes into this little discourse on the value of children right after, in Mark's gospel, his teaching on marriage. Right? You might have said that's sort of a weird ending to the gospel. It's all this teaching on marriage and a tough teaching on divorce and remarriage, and then all of a sudden it's like we go into a totally new scene where children are not being allowed to come to Jesus, and he says, no, let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs. I don't think that's coincidental. I think it's clear to me that Jesus sees children as a part of the specialness and the uniqueness of marriage. About, 1600 years after St. Augustine, Pope John Paul II, in his famous Theology of the Body, right, sort of gives a fresh look at these three goods. And he says this, he says, these three reflect how God loves us, right? And so there's kind of a motto in the Theology of the Body world that says God loves us freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully. God loves us freely, okay? He doesn't smother us. Right? He lets us choose. He loves us totally. He gives everything to us. He doesn't abandon his side of the covenant. Right? He loves us faithfully. He's faithful to his promises. Right? And he loves us fruitfully. He bears fruit in the lives through his grace of those that entrust themselves to him. So God loves us freely, totally, faithfully, and fruitfully. And the sacrament of marriage is meant to imitate and mirror that love for the world. So that in the sacrament of marriage, spouses are meant to love each other freely. That's why in our initial marriage intake form, we have to ask all these questions about their freedom. You know, whether one of their parents is, you know, whether it's a shotgun wedding, or there's all these, make sure there's nothing forcing them, either internal or external, into this marriage. It's got to be free. Right? It's got to be total, right? Permanent, unconditional. It doesn't, as this one couple strangely thought maybe, it doesn't, as you change over 7 to 10 years, mean the abandonment of the covenant, of the marriage vow. It's got to be faithful. It's a one flesh union, right? And it's got to be fruitful, at least open, that God's going to use your union to bring about children. And so I want to encourage all of our married couples today, in light of these readings, to renew these commitments, the vows within you. Obviously, for those of us who aren't married, most loving acts can still bear those characteristics, right? Freedom and totality and faithfulness and spiritual children and all those sorts of things, right? Those can apply to many loving acts, but they're embodied in a really concrete and beautiful way in the sacrament of marriage. And so we're grateful for that gift. We pray for all of our married couples here today, and we ask that, I challenge married couples a lot in my wedding homilies. I'll say, I'm going to pick a couple, Tim and Kateri, because they had their 57th last week. And I told him it wasn't a big deal, but it is a big deal, just because it's not a multiple of five. Not because, I don't know if you noticed, last week I said it's not a round or not an even number. And a student told me after, Father, I just want to correct you on something. You meant a multiple of five, not an even number. I said, all right, good. That is correct. So I meant a multiple of five. But I'll often say this to them as they're sitting here at their wedding, during the homily, I'll say, Tim and Kateri, when people see you love each other, they're supposed to see God's love for them. Do you guys think you live up to that? I'm not going to ask you that, no. But anyway, that's the challenge, right? Is that the way in which spouses love each other is meant to mirror through its freedom, its totality, its faithfulness, and its fruitfulness is supposed to mirror God's love for each one of us. So let's renew that call for all of us to love in that way, but especially our married couples.